UNFPA is very excited about this week because we want to make real a world where, indeed, every pregnancy is intended, every childbirth is safe, and every young person's potential is fulfilled. And this week is important to call attention to things like the power of data to get us to our goals, but also to remind us that we exist at a time when things like armed conflict are stumbling blocks in the way of women, girls, anybody who's at a disadvantage, and also that the big climate change issues that we see are leading to disastrous implications for people on the ground. So I hope it's a time when we're going to garner the solidarity, square our shoulders, and get in there at the midpoint to make sure that we conquer things that are in humans' power to do something about.
How would you say that those priorities have changed over the last few years, and what are some growing challenges when you think about it?
Well, UNFPA is now over 50 years old, and we're gearing up for next year when the Cairo Platform of Action, which said population is about people, not just numbers, ICPD 30 is next year. So for me, a couple of the big challenges are increasing investments in young people, making sure that they not only, they already have the confidence in a sense, but that they have the information, the networks, and the ability to make the claim on bodily autonomy, my body is my own, real across the spectrum. I also believe that we have some real challenges because of the widening economic gaps. How sad that 800 million people are still going hungry. And among these, women and girls, we know, are usually the last to eat and the last whose needs are taken into account. So I want to make it easier for dialogues about things like school attendance. Girls belong in school, not pregnant. They should be able to be in school when they're menstruating. Hence, the hygiene support for a dignified ability to do what you need to do. And also when women and girls are caught up and are on the run, if you're a refugee, if you're a displaced person, we've got to cater to make sure that their needs are put first.
How do we get folks to understand that when we're talking about women's rights, reproductive rights, it's not just a matter of SDG 5, it goes across all the different goals. How do we get folks to understand that?
SDG 5 puts a claim on full equality. It doesn't say make things slightly better. Those 17 SDGs are tightly intertwined. So 16, the one for peace and institutions, is crucial if women are going to be able to live lives of peace in their homes and the big peace in the world that allows them to be able to plan their lives accordingly. The SDGs really depend on women being able to claim their body right, and it gives me great anxiety that there should be an acceptance, sometimes even among affected women and girls themselves, that there's ever an excuse for them to be beaten, for gender-based violence to be wished away. And I absolutely think that within this lifetime, things like female genital mutilation have to be zeroed. We're not talking about making things slightly better. Zero gender-based violence means full respect for women, and it also means a better life for everyone on the planet. We've seen time and again data support the idea that when a woman gets an education, the entire family, village, community, country benefits. When a woman has the power to feed her family, we know that that next generation is going to be lifted out of poverty. And for me, even as a doctor, education is the driver that makes a difference. And we have to make sure that for SDG 5 right now, employability, decent work, all of these hinge on girls being able to finish their secondary schooling and go further if they want. So that's the power of connecting all those dots, the 17 of them, which the world has agreed to. So let's get on with it.